Hey, my friend, welcome along to the Medicinal Chef's Nutrition Nuggets podcast, helping you get clarity on nutrition. I'm Dale Pinnock, the Medicinal Chef, best-selling author, nutritionist, and creator of Nutrition Coaching Monthly. Every week here in the podcast, I'm going to be answering your questions and discussing key topics around the field of nutrition to help give you clarity and to expand your knowledge. Hey folks, how you doing? Hope everyone is well and you're surviving this tail end of the cold weather. So this week it's all about foods to aid sleep. Now obviously there are so many factors that can affect the quality of our sleep. Everything from our stress levels through to how our bedroom's actually laid out and what our evening routine is. All of these things can have an impact. I'm not going to talk about all of those because they're outside of my remit, but certainly food and nutrition can be useful tools, as I say, not got all of the answers, but can be useful tools for improving sleep quality. So, excuse me, I'm going to start with a few of my don'ts. These should seem immediately obvious, but you'd be surprised. So a few of the don'ts, and then we'll get into some of the nutritional strategies. So number one is reduce caffeine after about 5 o'clock. Should be fairly obvious. If you're particularly caffeine sensitive like me, I love a coffee. First thing in the morning, coffee is my friend, believe me. It helps me actually engage in humanity and be a useful member of the human race. Without it, not so good. But I find that if I have it after about 12, then I'm wired for the rest of the evening and I struggle to get to sleep. And a lot of people are quite caffeine sensitive. So if that's you, great first thing in the morning, but then, you know, once we start to move into the afternoon, really, really wind down with the caffeine, because it's not going to enable you to actually wind down properly. It's going to keep cortisol levels high. Cortisol levels really need to drop in the evening. They need to be elevated in the morning to actually get you going. But if cortisol levels are too high in the evening, you ain't sleeping. And also it can just make you jittery and wired, and it's not conducive to proper relaxation. Okay, so that's the first of the don'ts. The second of the don'ts is don't eat a huge meal right before you go to bed. Now, this has got nothing to do with weight gain. I see this all the time, this kind of ridiculous old wives' tale that if you eat a huge meal just before going to bed, it makes you put on weight. No, it doesn't. It depends what the rest of your day looks like, how active you are, what else you've eaten, all of that kind of stuff. Should be kind of obvious. But certainly what a huge meal will do is disturb your sleep. If your body's working hard trying to digest this meal and break it down and actually shift it and process it, it's not going to be kind of getting into those sleep cycles. It's actually going to still be awake and alert and trying to process something. So I would leave at least 3 to 4 hours, if you can, before going to bed after eating. 3 to 4 hours. Not always possible, but try and leave as long a gap as you possibly can. So those are the don'ts. Now, there's a couple of nutritional strategies that can be really, really useful. Okay, it's not like a massive long list. There's two things that can really, really help. As I said, nutrition hasn't got all the answers, but can be a useful tool. And these two really do come up trumps. So the first is to eat tryptophan-rich foods at your evening meal or as a bedtime snack. Now, tryptophan is an amino acid. It's an amino acid that can actually, given the right circumstances, cross the blood-brain barrier, so actually get into the brain. And when it does, it gets converted over into the neurotransmitter serotonin. Now, serotonin is known as like the happy, feel-good neurotransmitter. It's the one that can elevate our mood and can have like a bit of a stress-relieving effect. And obviously, a lot of the well-known antidepressant drugs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, so they actually increase the amount of serotonin in the synaptic space. That's the subject for another day. But serotonin, again, given the right set of circumstances, actually converts into the hormone melatonin, and melatonin essentially sets the clock. It's the thing that actually gets us to sleep and keeps us to sleep, and it's something that can help you get a better quality of sleep. You can actually get it as a supplement as well. I mean, I travel to the US a lot, and melatonin can become my best friend there. It's not actually available in the UK, but you can get it in America, and it's awesome stuff. So, tryptophan-rich foods. These include turkey, tuna, peanut butter, and bananas. Now, you wouldn't want to eat those all together because that'd be pretty rancid, to be honest. But you could make a little bedtime snack out of these kind of things. It could be something as simple as half a tuna open sandwich. It could be mashed banana and peanut butter on an oat cake. Anything like that. Now, I've included carbohydrates in both of those for the simple reason that you do need a little bit of carbohydrate with it. A little bit of carbohydrate will just give you that gentle insulin spike that's needed to actually drive the tryptophan across the blood-brain barrier. You need that gentle insulin spike to work as a catapult. It will actually push it across the blood-brain barrier. You don't need loads because the last thing you want to do is flood yourself with glucose right before bed. But that gentle insulin spike, which is just enough to slingshot the tryptophan across into the blood, into the brain, happy days. And then the final part of that puzzle is, okay, once you've got the tryptophan into the brain and you've got that resource available and you've started to make more serotonin, you need to make sure that you're actually converting the serotonin into melatonin. And your brain does that once it registers darkness. So make sure your bedroom is as dark as possible. You know what? Even if you have to wear an eye mask, do it. As soon as your brain registers darkness, it will convert serotonin to melatonin, and that's what gets you to sleep. Okay, so that's tool number one. Tryptophan-rich foods such as turkey, tuna, bananas, peanut butter in an evening meal or as a bedtime snack about half an hour before. Tool number two is magnesium. Eat magnesium-rich foods at your evening meal and even consider a supplement. Now, magnesium's got two main benefits. Firstly, it increases the production and release of the neurotransmitter GABA. Now, GABA is the primary inhibitory neurotransmitter, which means it winds everything down and calms everything down. Other neurotransmitters like glutamate, for example, are excitatory neurotransmitters. They actually get you going. They get you hyped up. They get you ramped up. That's the last thing you need in the evening. That's the last thing you need going on in the evening. What you want is an increase in GABA because that's just going to quieten the mind. It's going to relax the central nervous system. And then you've got the second benefit that magnesium actually works as a muscle relaxant. It actually helps to relax your muscles so you're physically not feeling tense. If you're feeling really, really tense and holding lots of tension in your muscles when you go to bed, you're not going to get off to sleep. But if you can relax those muscles a little bit, you're in a much better position. So you've got an increase of GABA and your muscles are relaxing more. Magnesium-rich foods, really, it's all about the greens. Pile the greens into your evening meal. Broccoli, spinach, kale, cavolo nero, all of that good stuff. If it's green, it has lots of magnesium in it. I also mentioned a supplement. I often will take 400 milligrams of magnesium citrate about 40 minutes before I go to bed. And I find that that works really, really well. Okay, so those are my tools of choice when it comes to tweaking diet to improve sleep. As I say, there is a million and one different variables that can actually influence our sleep, and most of those are beyond the remit of nutrition. But those two tools can make a huge difference. So if nutrition is something that interests you, if nutrition is something that you're always wanting to learn more about, then why don't you have a look at Nutrition Coaching Monthly? Nutrition Coaching Monthly is my monthly online nutrition school. We've got a community that's growing at 1,000 miles an hour. We've got members all over the world, from Canada to Turkey to Egypt to Ireland, and of course here in the UK, Australia, New Zealand. They're all over the place. A community of like-minded people that are hungry for this information. Every single month I go live in the school and deliver in-depth, detailed but accessible classes in nutrition. It's not completely flummoxing everyone. It's not hours of biochemical pathways and metabolic function. It's enough of the science to give you the answers that you need, but in a level that, regardless of your background, you can get something from and actually put to use. So every month I do these live classes. It's an interactive classroom, so you can ask me questions, you can talk to your fellow students. And as soon as the class is finished, the recording gets placed into your members area, and your members area becomes like your own teaching library. You can access it anywhere from any device, watch all the recordings back as many times as you want to, and it becomes like an ever-growing library of information that you can use. Also, there's a second live session every month, which is just an open forum Q&A. It's where you can use me as a resource, ask me any questions about nutrition that you want, and sound off, get the right advice, and it's basically a free-for-all. So if that's something that you like the sound of, you can even take a free class, okay? If you head over to my website, themedicinalchef.co.uk, and go to online programs and select Nutrition Coaching Monthly, have a look on that page. That will give you a bit of an overview of what it looks like and how it works. But if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see where you can actually sign up to do a free class. Take the free class, get an insight into how it works, what it is, the kind of detail that's in there. And hopefully I will see you inside the program and see you in class. So, my friends, until next time, see you later.